All right, turn in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Last time we were together, we talked about the Lamb who was standing on Mount Zion. And John sees this in this vision, and he sees the Lamb. We talked about who that Lamb is, Jesus Christ. And then we talked about who's standing with the Lamb. It's 144,000. And we talked about what characteristics did God bring out about those people, about those men standing there with the Lamb. Remember the challenging questions that we asked ourselves. Are we people who will be found standing with the Lamb in the end? Will we be on the Lord's side? Has the Lord saved you? We talked about, are you a follower of the Lamb? We talked about your speech. Is it pure? We talked about how the Bible makes a big deal about sexual purity. And are you sexually pure before the Lord and others? We talked about how the 144,000 were marked by the Father's name, and is it clear that you belong to God? Do you have that testimony? I know the times will be very different in these days because we know that the devil is going to have his ruler in place for a short time and dominate the earth. And there will be a common government, and there will be a common economic system. There will be a worship of this beast, as it's called, as he's called in Revelation. There will be war against the saints, and if you are not a worshiper of the beast, you are in danger of death. And so we have this picture that John has of this blessed sight that the Lamb remains and there are people who stand with him. Following this part of the vision, there are a series of messengers that come. And John, seeing this in a vision, gives us these messages. These messengers are called angels, and when you think of an angel, often we think of dressed in white and flapping wings, right? And little halos. And this, yeah, that's the picture you might get, but to be more biblically sound, an angel literally would be a messenger. And so when you think of angels, think messengers, think the servants of God who do his bidding. We already talked about in this series Michael, who is the warring angel and who stands for Israel in the spiritual realm. You know the Christmas story, and Gabriel plays a very significant role. And what is he doing? He's bringing messengers to Joseph and to Mary. Today we're just going to talk, Lord willing, about three angels that appear in sequential order here in Revelation chapter 14. First of all, let's look at the messenger preaching the gospel. Revelation 14, we'll pick it up verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Wow, what an image. Again, John is seeing this in a vision, And these are things that have yet to take place. These are things that I believe are going to be happening during this time when the devil is ruling the earth. And God sends these messengers. It's important for you to realize that these messengers are doing God's bidding. And so when we see what comes out of their mouths, when we see what they are doing, we are realizing this is what God wants to happen. This is God's will, and these are ways that God is going to be penetrating the earth that is going to be full of evil. And John is just giving us a glimpse of these things. As you read that passage with me, I trust that you were blessed as I was when you saw that term, gospel. That's a precious term to us as Christians, isn't it? If it isn't, it needs to be. You see, what does gospel really mean? It's good news. It is good news, good tidings. What did the angels bring to the shepherds out there in the fields around Bethlehem? Good tidings, good news. You see, the gospel is good news in our lives. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean the gospel isn't relative to you today. Because it remains good news, doesn't it? It's still that same powerful news that has changed your life in the past and continues to give you purpose in your life today. You have God's power in life, and you have His message to proclaim to the world, this gospel. Well, here we have an angel, and I believe that this is the way it's going to appear. The angel is going to appear in the heavens and going to be proclaiming here, which says with a loud voice. The idea is that God wants this to be heard. And he's flying. So do angels fly? Yes. Sure they do. Do you think this is going to get attention? Well, you think about those shepherds out there around Bethlehem. What happened to them when the angels appeared in the heavens? And you think about this angel flying through the air, but more than the spectacular view is the message. That's what's majored on in this. What we see here is this everlasting good news. The angel is possessing this eternal message of good tidings. We see here that he is to preach it. I was curious about that word preach. I was just wondering if it had only to do with speaking or if you could preach with your life. And I guess you could, but in the scriptures, this word preach is only used with what comes out of a person's mouth. And so this is an audible message that is being proclaimed. And that's the intent and the purpose. This everlasting good news is being proclaimed to the world. If you look at your text there, it says that this is a message that is to be preached, meaning people need to hear it. God wants the world to hear this message. This is a time of great darkness. This is a time of great persecution. This is a time of deception and confusion. And here comes this angel from God with good news. I do believe that during these days there will be saints on the earth. That is, those that will be, that have come to faith in Christ during this time of great tribulation. What do you think this everlasting gospel will mean to them. As they hear this news proclaimed, yeah, it will be encouraging, won't it? I also believe that the world is going to be full of people who are caught in the middle, who see this quote-unquote wonderful beast, this worldwide ruler, and all that he has to offer. It's attractive. But yet what he demands is powerful. And there will be these people that will be caught in the middle. Do we worship the beast? Or what about this message, everlasting good news that we hear from God? I believe there will also be those people that have sold themselves to the devil, to the beast. And to them, this is a profound woe and condemnation. As they realize what they have done, and they despise God because they've chosen to worship this beast. You notice that the audience here, the target audience, is them that dwell on the earth. This is not a, there's nothing specific other than those that dwell on the earth. This tells me that there are those that are dwelling in heaven. Isn't that wonderful news? This message is for those who are dwelling on the earth. And we see the extent of the audience of this ministry is to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. You see that terminology used throughout the book of Revelation. One way that you could look at it is every nation are all those people who are joined together politically, joined together by a common government. Kindred would be all of those people that are joined by family relationships. That word is also translated tribe throughout the Bible, and the word that is often used in the Greek New Testament for the tribes of Israel. With tongue, you think of those people who are joined together by language. And with people, you think of those that are joined together by ethnicity, a common culture. Really covers a lot of bases, doesn't it? All these different angles. Why? Why does God give those details? What's the purpose in such a specific listing of every nation? Every body of people that are joined together under a common ruler, common government, or the kindred, the family, the language, the ethnicity. Why? I believe that God wants you as the church, us as readers, to realize the breadth of His love and His care. God is not partial. As the gospel and the good news is going forth, it is for all people. And it is not for just a certain ethnic group. It is not for just a certain family. It is not for a certain nation. No. It's not even for a certain language. It's for all. That's the breadth of God's love. It's the breadth of His mercy and His grace. So the target audience is those that dwell in the earth. The extent of the ministry is to all people. What is this everlasting good news? Verse 7 tells us what comes out of this angel's mouth. It is made up of three imperatives, that is, three words that are given as instructions to be fulfilled. These are things that the speaker desires the listener to say, okay, I will do that. Those three imperatives, you'll see them there in verse 7. The first is fear God. The second is give glory to Him. And the third is worship Him. There is debate as to the exact understanding of what this gospel really is. I'm not going to go down that line of debating the gospel because I believe God gives us what He wants us to know about this everlasting good news. Because He gives us here in this text what the angel has to say, what he's preaching. The first thing he declares is fear God. Now, this is a messenger from God. And so, he's not God. He's a messenger, a spiritual being created by God to do God's bidding. And so, therefore, he declares to all people that dwell on the earth, fear God. Fear Him. Reverence Him. Treat God as God. Fear God. See, this is the platform where it begins, where you have this understanding that God is great and we are not. Where God is almighty and we need Him. Where God is holy and we are sinners. Right? And so therefore, we've got to fear God because of who He is and who we are. Because we're not Him. Has God been revealing Himself through the book of Revelation? Absolutely. Has God been revealing Himself to those that have been dwelling upon the earth? Yes. Powerful judgments and destruction has been happening. Miracles have been done by the two witnesses. Testimony has been declared by the 144,000. Yeah. God is declaring Himself. And so the proclamation goes forth, fear God. I want to ask you today, do you fear God? Young people, you might say, Pastor, I don't get that. You mean, do I have to be afraid of God? Do I have to be afraid of Him? You know, a simple illustration. I had a horse growing up. His name was Nugget. Why? I named him that, and I was proud of that name. Man, tough. He was from Goldsboro, Nevada, so that's Nugget, all right? And so Nugget, he was a wild Mustang, adopted him. My dad and I trained him, but he was a wild Mustang. Now, Nugget was a horse much bigger than I. I was 12 years old when I got Nugget. He barely stood 14-1 hands for those of horse people. Okay? 14 point. So he wasn't really even a horse, but nevertheless to me he was. But he was powerful. He was powerful. And you know what? I had a healthy fear of him because of his power. And it dictated how I was around him. I was careful around his feet because I was bruised one too many times. I was careful of how I would lead him and careful how I would ride with him. I had a healthy respect for, I had a fear of him because I understood his potential. I understood his power. Do you understand the power of God? Do you understand the potential of God? Revelation reveals that to us in all of His fury. He will judge sin. And in the end, those that despise him, those that do not trust in him, will be separated from him. Do you fear God? You see, that fear begins with understanding who he is and with your immersion into the scriptures and your listening to your teachers and those that are pouring into your life. Adults listening to the radio and most preachers on the radio, listening to those messages, reading the Word of God, and you understand him. And the result is a fear of him. Because as I've already said, he is a holy God and you are not holy. You need Christ and his righteousness. Do you fear God? This is the message proclaimed. Fear God. What is next? It is give glory to him. So we realize he is God. Secondly, we're going to realize he's judge. Because you see, the angel in this message give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. His judgment. The angel wants the people of the earth to realize who God is. He is judge. And the earth is going to experience and further experience, and people will experience his judgment. Give glory to him. Giving to God the praise due him. Giving over to him all the wonderful opinions that are about him. Not becoming the distraction ourselves. Not ascribing and giving wonderful opinions about other people or things or the beast. You notice here, 14 comes after 13. And in 13, the world is worshiping the beast. And in chapter 14, the message is going forth. Listen, fear God, worship him. Give him glory. For his judgment is come. God's judgment will be definite and final. This is the kind of judgment where you don't want to just take a risk and play around. God is warning us. God is warning the world through his word that there comes a day of judgment, and it's a final judgment, and the results are eternal. Oh, church, we have to come to grips with this. All people will stand before God someday. As Christians, we stand before God clothed in his righteousness, and our works are judged. But our destination is secured because we're clothed in his righteousness. But there will be millions and millions who will stand before God, and they despised Christ and they sought to clothe themselves with whatever righteousness they might have, whatever works they could muster up, and it does not satisfy God's wrath against sin. There is only one. And it's Jesus Christ. That's it. You might say Christianity is a tough, tough belief system. Well, if you want to look at it that way, okay. Yes, there's only one way. That's it. It's Jesus Christ. And so we fear God. He is God. We give him glory. He is judge. What is next? We worship him. And the call forth to the people of the earth is worship him. And notice what it says. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Each aspect of this description experiences the touches of God's power throughout the book of Revelation. You see God do mighty things in the heavens. You see God do mighty things on the earth. You see things happen in the sea, and the fountains of waters are made bitter. Worship Him that made all of these things. He is God, He is Judge, He is Creator. He is the maker of them all. Oh yes, the beast can do these little miracles and appears like fire comes down from heaven. Oh yes, the beast might be really good with his words. Oh yes, the beast might be able to unite the world in some sort of one government and economy. But can he make the world? Does he have that kind of power? He may want you to believe that, but there is no way. Because only there's one God, and he alone is Creator. And Jesus Christ is united with him, for he is God. And we love how in the Gospels, Jesus Christ is described as Creator. We love how in the epistles, Paul in Colossians chapter 1, Jesus Christ is Creator. There's one God. Fear him. He is God, and you are not. Give him glory. He is Judge, and you will stand before him. Worship him, because he is worthy. He made it all. This word worship is a picture of even being on your knees and bowing. What's your posture before the Lord? You see, this angel's declaring to the people upon the earth of this day these three important things. And I have to tell you, as we go through the book of Revelation, yes, these things may be happening to a group of people in a different time. But you know what? It reveals to us what God values. And so for us as readers and students of the book of Revelation, what is it that's God's valuing here in this message, this everlasting good news? Fear God. Do you fear Him? Give Him glory. Are you giving Him glory? Are you worshiping Him? During these days, there will be heavy pressure to worship the beast. That's what's going to be popular. That's the way you get what you want, is you worship the ruler, the beast. And people are going to be deceived and pressured to do so. And God's declaring this message forth that all the people might hear. And they might see through the deception of the beast to the truth of God's message, to the reality of His mercy. Our God is a patient God. In fact, He was so patient that He waited to save you and waited to save me. And He's so patient that He's still waiting, because there are still others that He desires to see come to Himself. In fact, I would dare say that God demonstrates His mercy and His compassion and His patience all throughout this time of judgment. Why else would such a message go forth? Is it going to encourage the saints? Yes, it will encourage the saints. But you know, I believe it will open the eyes of those who have yet still remain undecided. What are we to do? That's just one messenger. You're not surprised, are you? So let's think about this. This is the message God had for us today. And as we go from this place, are we living out this everlasting good news? It's good. It's good news. And it's good for you today, believer. Good for you, church. It's everlasting good news. It's not growing old. This is everlasting. Make your life about this. May our church be about this. May we be a people who are fearing Him and giving Him glory and worshiping Him. Lord Jesus, thank You for the time and thank You for this message. It is clear, Lord, You wanted this emphasized today. And what I don't know where everybody is, but I do know, Lord, that You're at work. And I desire You to be at work in me, too. And I think about my heart. And I think about how often I will just enjoy myself a little bit too much. Lord, I want my life to be about You and giving You glory. I think about what is important in my life and what that demonstrates. And, oh God, may I be a worshiper of You. Lord, would You have Your way in our lives? Mold and just shape us. Lord, would You help our church? Help us as Your body to be a God-fearing people. A place that is all about exalting Your reputation and not ours. Oh, may it be a place, God, that is about ascribing worth to You. Not ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.